recognizing the unsung heroes of sports media.
I'm stuck in this pit, working for less than slave wages, working on my day off.
This is the Producers Podcast.
I'm a producer.
Oh, you the executive producer.
With your host, Dimitri Ravenos. And it starts now.
We are doing something very different on today's show. Actually, so this is interesting. I say very different, and maybe you totally agree or totally disagree. Today's guest is Troy Farkas. He works with ESPN Audio on the digital side of things. He's a producer for a number of their podcasts, including Baseball Tonight with Buster Olney and the MMA show with Ariel Helwani. It's really interesting to hear Troy talk about the philosophy he has when it comes to producing podcasts, because I don't think it's entirely different from radio, but you'll hear it is a philosophy that almost only works with podcasts, or maybe the best way to say it is a philosophy tailored exclusively to podcasting. And if things about it work for radio and you are a producer of a weekday show and you can take something from this, awesome. But I think what is important really to take away from this is I know so many producers, look, there's a reason I ask the question at the end of each episode, what do you want to do next, right? So many producers do have that desire to not be behind the board, but behind the microphone. And podcasting is a great place to show off what you are capable of until you get that 5 day a week, middays, afternoons, mornings, whatever, opportunity as a host. What I want you to think about as you listen to what Troy has to say is, what are you doing with your podcast? Because with Troy, and he'll talk about this because he's been working on ESPN's The Daily, or ESPN Daily, whatever it is they're calling it. He worked on The Sporting Life with Jeremy Schapp when that was something on ESPN Radio that was really run like a podcast. You'll hear that a part of what Troy thinks about is, what could we not do anywhere else? And I think that's a really important thing when you are trying to stand out in the podcasting world. So enjoy this interview with Troy Farkas from ESPN Audio. Your brother is in radio, is in, I guess, audio as well, is the right way to say it.
Yes. Yeah. My brother is the program director at 101.3 The Game in Burlington, Vermont. They are a Fox Sports affiliate, used to be an ESPN Radio affiliate. And my brother has been there almost 3 years. He is one of the hosts of the afternoon drive show, The Huddle, and he loves it up there. It's a great spot. They cover mostly Patriots, Red Sox, Boston Bruins, Celtics, and they do leak over into the Yankees and the New York Giants, and he loves it up there. And he used to work at ESPN Radio in Albany. That was his start in radio business, and I had an internship there as well. So Brady and I, we discuss radio, podcasting all the time. The industry, it's pretty much the bulk of our conversations, honestly.
Was your dad or mom in radio as well?
They were not, but we come from a media family, and I always told myself that I wouldn't follow in their footsteps because I'm kind of different. I like to be different.
Yeah.
But here we are. My mom and dad, they met at a newspaper in San Jose. My mom was a reporter. My dad was an editor because he always liked making decisions and telling people what to do. And
strong dad vibes.
Yes, exactly. They met there, and then my dad started working as an editor at the Seattle Times, which is where I was born. And then we moved over to North Carolina. He worked at the paper in Raleigh, North Carolina. And then we moved up to Albany. My dad was a sports editor at the Albany Times Union. And then he proceeded to move around a bunch of places. But my family, we pretty much stayed based in Albany for the rest of the time until now.
No kidding. I am talking to you from Raleigh right now.
Okay. Yeah. Everyone gives me problems for being a Duke fan, but I used to say, I lived in North Carolina, and you idolize what your brother or your dad does. So my dad basically told me when I was 4 years old, like, hey, Duke is really good. You should like Duke. So I was like, okay, that sounds good to me.
So you are a front runner, but it comes from your father, and that is the distinction.
Exactly. I am a front runner, but I have my reasons. I'm also a Dallas Cowboys fan for other reasons, too.
So tell me a little bit about the transition. And I understand, like, because before you came over to the podcasting side, the digital side, you were working with The Sporting Life on ESPN Radio, which is a really unique show. And I would imagine probably prepares you to make the transition over to podcasting and more storytelling based sort of entertainment. But tell me a little bit about the transition and what you have learned is very different about producing for digital versus producing for over the air radio.
Yeah. So I didn't get, when I was at ESPN Radio, I didn't really do much live radio producing. So I did produce The Sporting Life with Jeremy Schapp, and I wanted to produce that show because it's really the kind of avenue, it's really the kind of content that I really value, because it's more, it's not just, listen, I'm a sports fan, but I'm not so nitty gritty every day, day in, day out, final scores, top performers. I'm more like, nothing makes me happier than seeing teams, players overcome obstacles, overcome injuries, the ups and downs of the seasons, and then win at the end. It is the moment that I live for in sports, and that's kind of what we talked a lot about on The Sporting Life, is these bigger picture things, not necessarily about the games themselves. So I loved working on that show. And the beauty of that show is it is a totally pre-recorded show. It is highly produced. Everything is done during the week, and it airs on Saturday and Sunday morning. So it was not so much a radio show. It was kind of a podcast that just happened to be on the radio. So I was on a contract at ESPN Radio. I did not technically work for ESPN. I was on an 18-month contract. At the end of that contract, I was told, hey, we can't keep you around in radio, but we would like to move you over to podcasting. And we think that because of your work with The Sporting Life, you kind of have a pretty good feel for how podcasting works already.
Yeah.
So I did. So it was a pretty seamless transition from that sense, because all of the mechanisms were pretty much the same. And so I've been in podcasting. I returned here to ESPN June 1st, and I love it. Podcasting is so much more fun. And the great thing is, like, listen, I was a terrible board op. That was one of my jobs when I was a PA at radio. I was a terrible board op. For some reason, the pressure got to me sometimes, and I made some pretty bad mistakes in my time. But the beauty of podcasting is I can still make those mistakes, but they're not over live air. They can be totally cleaned up. We can do it again. So in podcasting, I love editing. Like I said, I come from a family of editors, and so I'm very meticulous with my editing. One of my bosses had forwarded along an article to me one time. They're like, hey, if you just take out 10 seconds of useless dead air in a podcast, you are saving, say you have 100 people listening to it, you are just saving then like 1,000 seconds of people's time.
Wow.
Like, think about it that way. And then, you know, when you're talking about ESPN podcasts, you're talking about bigger numbers. So then you're saving like tens of thousands of seconds and minutes of people's time.
You know, that's interesting. All right. So I want to get to exactly what you're doing in the podcasting realm. But that particular story does sort of make me think of the quality of what you hear when you are hearing an ESPN podcast. And you talk about how meticulous you are. I don't know that I can go back and listen to a podcast. I listen to a few of the ESPN podcasts. I don't know that I can hear, you know, if you're on the production side, you can hear where things are cut together sometimes. I don't know that I can hear that with the ESPN podcast. So is that just a matter of the talented people that ESPN employs on your side of this operation? Or is that a matter of, maybe not necessarily talent, but dedication. Like before we started recording, you said you're a stickler for audio quality. You just said, you know, you're meticulous when it comes to being an editor. Is it a matter of the team is trained that way, or the team just happens to be a bunch of people that think that way?
I think we're all kind of in synergy that we all want to make our podcast the best as possible. And there's a lot of metrics out there that show that the length of a podcast can really alter listening. So
right.
Even if I cut down my podcast by a minute, I take great pride in that. So I try to be relentless. And this was a good thing with The Sporting Life, was that we may do a 15-minute interview, but we have to cut it down to 9 minutes. So mm-hmm. you have to for air to fill your segments and hit your hard outs properly. So I kind of got that muscle there where it's like, you may really love this content, what this guest just said, or what Jeremy Schapp or your host just said, but you have to cut it out because it's just not as good as the other stuff. So you have to cut it out. So I'm constantly trying to find ways. Okay, what did I not find that interesting? And the thing here is that it's hard to do at ESPN. And I don't know if any of the producers you've had on have said this, but a lot of producers think that they can do the show better than their hosts in radio or mm-hmm. in podcasting. There's no way I can do my baseball show better than Buster Olney. Buster Olney is as tapped into this stuff as anyone. There's no way I can talk about it better. So I have to think, how can I lend an ear in a different way? Is do I, you know, the transaction that he may find super interesting that the Royals are considering, I might not find interesting at all. So I kind of put on my fan hat and I'm like, okay, do I find this interesting? Will our listeners find this interesting? And if not, I just kind of cut it out of the podcast to make it shorter, to make it better, to make it a better listening experience. Because when I'm trying to be mindful of people's time here, because podcasts yeah. are a part of people's day. And I don't want to take up too much of people's day. I'm a very mindful consumer of podcasts myself, and I don't like it when they run too long. You can feel when a podcast turns a point, when it drags on, and that is something that I am very meticulous about, and I think the rest of our producers, editors here at ESPN are as well.
So you work with Buster, you work with Ariel Helwani on his MMA show, you're working more and more with Mina on ESPN Daily. Are these people that get that once it is in Troy's hands, Troy knows what he is doing to make it sound good? Or like you use the example of Buster, not breaking news, but talking about a transaction that the Royals did. Do you ever have to have a disagreement or even a fight with him about, look, man, this middle reliever that the Royals went out and picked up that only you have heard of is not going to move the needle the way you think it does?
So that's actually a skill that I'm trying to perfect as we go on. I'm only 23 years old, and I haven't been in this field that long. So I'm still kind of in a stage where I'm trying to gather the respect and trust of right. everyone that I'm working with. And it depends on each host. Ariel, we trust each other 110%. He knows when it's in my hands that I'm going to make the right decisions. With some of your other people who are more, who have just been in the industry longer and have seen the transition, you know, because Buster used to be a newspaper guy. And now, and he is in podcasting, TV, and all these other forms of media. Guys like that might not be as understanding of the things that we're trying to do here in podcasting, just because they didn't grow up with it.
Yeah.
Whereas a guy like Ariel Helwani may just be more hip with the times, if you know what I'm saying. And so these are conversations that I'm just trying to have myself, because I have to, you know, like it's a thing. Like when you're just starting out in this business, you're just like trying not to mess up.
Right.
When you're just getting here. And then once you kind of master all the technical stuff, then it's like, okay, how can I actually make the show better? How can I make this a better listen? So that's the stage that I'm trying to find, or that I'm finding myself in, trying to find my ground. And is how do I build that relationship with my hosts so that they can trust me to make this as good as possible, to get the most listens as possible, and to make it the best listening experience possible.
You know, it is interesting that you think about what, I guess, how this podcast fits into a listener's day. And I think that is becoming more and more common, not just at ESPN and not even just at big entertainment outlets, right? But I think a lot of people that are even doing podcasts just out of their home office are starting to think about or starting to become aware of, like, after 30 minutes, you kind of guaranteeing that your listener is never going to finish this podcast. At 30 is probably stretching it, which is really different from the way we thought about podcasts in 2007, 2008, when people were starting them, 2011, when they kind of really took off. Like at that point, it was all about, oh, well, there aren't the constraints of radio. You can do whatever you want. And now it's interesting to hear you talk that, yeah, there aren't the constraints of radio, but that doesn't mean that there are no constraints if you want to maximize listening, maximize the potential of the show, all that kind of stuff.
Right, exactly. I never want a podcast to feel like we are just turning the microphones on and talking, and we're just going to end it when we feel like it's over. Now, I want it to be structured. I want it to be formulaic. Obviously, you let conversation go to places it needs to when the time calls for it, but you need to be able to talk. It's not as segmented as radio. No, you're not dealing with hard outs and commercials that you have to put in certain spots at certain times. But I do want it to be – I do not want it to just be the Wild Wild West. It has to be – it has to be digestible. It has to have a flow to it. It can't ramble, because when it starts rambling, that's when I lose my interest in it as a listener.
Yeah.
And I am very mindful of people's times. Like, why I love podcasting is because – the podcast that I listen to, and I listen to a lot of non-sports podcasts, they are a part of my day. I don't watch TV. I don't stream anything, because I'm surrounded by screens all day. When I get home, I just want to unplug. My first 3 days at ESPN, after those first 3 days, I had an off day. I went to the mountains of Connecticut and like was there for the entire day. I was like, I do not want to see another screen ever again, because it was just so overwhelming when I first got here. And so that has always stayed with me. And that's why I love podcasting, is because you can do things while you are listening. You don't have to be, you know, to get a TV show, to watch a documentary, you have to be like locked in
right
all the time to process what is going on. For a podcast, I'm a very active person. So whenever I'm exercising, whenever I'm walking, whenever I'm cooking, you can always be doing things listening to podcasts. And so I know how much of a routine they are for me. And that's why I put so much into making these podcasts as best as possible, because I know – you know, there's been some times in my life where, and you know, this is a thing, and I'm happy to talk about this, where like my mental health has not been the strongest.
Right.
You move to a new place, new job, don't know any people. When I was in radio, I was working really bad hours, and it takes a toll on you. And it was the people that I was listening to on my podcast, on the podcast that I'm fans of, that were getting me through my days, that were giving me hope. And I listened to a lot of educational podcasts and some lifestyle podcasts, and they got me through some tough days. And so I know that if, you know, any of our listeners to our sports podcast are having tough days, that maybe, you know, they're just looking for that 4:30 episode of Ariel Helwani's MMA show to help them on their long commute home, because they just had a rough day and they just want to tune out whatever just happened, and they want to listen to some fighters talk about beating other fighters to death.
No, listen.
But that's why I put so much into this.
No, listen, before I started working with Jason Barrett, I was kind of out of the industry completely, working at a, you know, really nice hotel here in the Raleigh area, but I was incredibly depressed. And I'm going to shout out a podcast, a sports podcast, but it's totally the opposite of what you're talking about, and that is SB Nation's Shutdown Fullcast, where it sort of became not just it was funny and it lifted me up, but like it was a countdown, right? Like that becomes part of it when you're in that place. Is it's a countdown of, okay, if there's a new episode, only two more days left this week. Or if there's a new episode, that means tomorrow I don't have to be at work or deal with X, Y, or Z.
Exactly. This cannot be underscored enough, is the relationship between the listener and the host. And that's why, you know, the host that I listen to, that I idolize, that I look forward to, you take their word for things. You respect what they have to say. I'm a person who solicits recommendations for my friends, for movies, for restaurants, for whatever it is, and I take their word for it. I look for that from my host, because like if there's a host that builds up a relationship with me over time, and that's the great thing, is you don't ever have to meet the host. You just listen to them every day.
Right.
You know the sound of their voice, you know, and for the, you know, for producers like us who are just have hypersensitive ears, you hear all the weird eccentric things they do with their voices, the ebbs and the flows of just how they put together sentences. And that's the kind of stuff that I live for as a listener and as a producer.
So I end the show every week with the same two questions. So the first one I will ask you is, what do you want to do next?
So the only goal I've ever had in this industry is I want to be on a documentary team.
Mm.
And like I said, I love long-form storytelling. I love the stories that go beyond the scores and the night-to-night action. And when I got out of college, I went to the University of Albany. I graduated in 3 years with a degree in U.S. history. So I love research. I love telling stories. I love writing. And that's why I love Jeremy Shapp. In my last semester of college, I was watching E60, every Sunday morning, think about, man, how can I be doing what this guy is doing? And then I got to ESPN only a few months after that, and I was like, all right, I want to get on documentaries. But it was in a visual sense. But I had been working in radio in college,
right,
and internships and whatnot. And I get here, and then I kind of realize, you know, I this was pretty much when 30 for 30 podcast had just started. I realized, wait, this is a thing in audio too. I can maybe do this. So ever since I've been here, I've been trying to make some moves in that sense. And it's just, you know, timing is everything in this business. And ESPN is really starting to hunker down on long form storytelling in the audio sense. 30 for 30 podcast is now well established. It's our top performing podcast. It's really good. And ESPN Daily has just launched. And technically, ESPN Daily is being run by another department at ESPN. It's by the same department that puts on E60 and Outside the Lines. Now I'm in the audio department, but I'm kind of serving as a liaison between the two. And so I'm lending a big hand on the production side from the audio team. And I've been doing that just because the first piece of advice that was given to me when I got here by the great Brendan Peregrin was, listen, no one's going to care about your career as much as you. You kind of have to take it into your own hands.
Right.
So I've just been telling person after person after person here what it is I want to do. And that thing I want to do is be on a documentary team. But the only thing that's changed is that I want it to be in the audio sense, not in the visual.
And last but not least, you work with talented people in terms of hosting. And we talked about it earlier, but just to recap, Buster Olney, Ariel Helwani, Mina Kimes, and you're also involved a little bit with Brian Windhorst's podcast. Whether it is that group of folks or whether it is your direct bosses, what is it you wish they understood a little bit better about your job?
I would guess is that the difference between a host and a producer is that a lot of our hosts, they kind of, you know, Buster Olney's a reporter. Mm-hmm. Ariel Helwani is a reporter. They're kind of on 24/7 all the time because they have to be, because transactions are happening at all days and weeks. The MLB winter meetings are going on right now, and it gets very hectic. The thing with me is, and this is kind of a generational difference that we're noticing, is that people of my generation, listen, it's not that we're lazy. It's just that we're more mindful of having a work-life balance and shutting off when it needs to be. Like, you can work all your life. You can work 60, 70 hours a week all you want, get paid for it, put food on the table. But there's a point where money just doesn't matter as much anymore, where it's like, listen, like, I want to have a life. I have a lot of outside interests. I love exercise. I love music. I love art. I have a lot of really good friends I love hanging out with. I want to open a coffee shop one day, so I'm always going to coffee shops and exploring new places. I'm trying to go to every brewery in Connecticut right now. That's another one of my goals in life. And there's a lot of things that I like to do. And sometimes I just like to be off, you know, like off hours. Sometimes I have my hosts hitting me up at all hours of the night. Just last week, I was decorating my Christmas tree with a close friend of mine, and I had like four different phone calls come to me like within an hour about things freaking out at like 6 o'clock at night when I'm technically off. And I'm just a 23-year-old PA. Like, that's a lot of responsibility right now. And listen, I love it. I love the responsibility. I love that people trust me, but I don't like to be on all the time. And I think sometimes hosts expect you to.
Yeah.
And I guess I would just like host to be a little more mindful of that sometimes.
So rather than close up shop today with a thought about the job in general or professional development in general, you know, Troy was willing to talk about how important podcasts have been to his mental health and keeping him connected to the real world when he is overwhelmed, depressed, or whatever the case may be. And I shared my experience with the shutdown Fullcast when I was working at a hotel a couple of years ago and depressed all the time. This is something, and also Troy hit on this at the end when he was talking about his desire for work-life balance. This is something that I've always found weird, a thought that a really older generation has of, you are not supposed to have any sort of satisfaction or connection to the real world when it comes to your job. Being a producer can at times feel incredibly thankless. You can feel invisible sometimes in your role. And I've talked about this before, right? A good producer, if they are doing their job to the best of their ability, they are making someone else look like a genius. And that can be a lonely place at times. So listen to what Troy had to say, not only about work-life balance, but about being aware that sometimes there are things you need just to connect you to the world outside of your job for your own mental health. That is so important because more than any other role in radio, I truly believe this, producer is where you can burn out. Producer not being able to move beyond this role, feeling like you are unappreciated in this role, I truly believe this is where we lose so many talented people in the world of radio. So in order for you to feel good about what you're doing and stick with this, even when you don't feel like you are getting the recognition you deserve, be connected to things outside of your professional world. Whether you have a family, whether you just have some very intense interests in whatever it may be. Like for me, it's movies, maybe it's music, you know, my kids, their activities I'm super connected with, my wife as well. When you are all about the job and the job feels thankless, sometimes even hopeless, man, that is when you burn out and that is when you lose the passion and you forget about what even created that passion for you in the first place. So love the job for sure, but don't make the job your life. I think that is a really good lesson to take away from this episode. All right, next week, speaking of episodes, next week is going to be the last one of the first season of the Producers Podcast. I hope you have enjoyed this whole show. If this is the first time you're listening, boy, did you jump in the middle, but don't worry. By the time we're done, you're going to have 13 episodes perfect for your drive to wherever it is you are spending the holidays or for your walk whenever you feel like you have to get away from the people you're spending the holidays with. We'll talk to you next week.
You don't want to believe it, but maybe the show is over.
Thank you for listening to the Producers Podcast. To connect with Dimitri, follow him on Twitter at Dimitri Ravenos. And for the latest sports media news, visit our website, VeritSportsMedia.com.